Episode number 295.
I mean, at the end of the day, when you really think about it, people buy from people. It doesn't matter that you work at a company X, Y, and Z. I'm still buying from Travis.
Absolutely.
And I want to know that that's a real human being, and I'm buying trust.
Welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Hot, where we talk about life, dreams, social media, and business.
Well, hello and welcome to the B-Real Show with Travis, Too Tall and Huff. Folks, you know your boy is fired up, ready to go, fired up on some liquid IV today, feeling life's adventures and fueling them as much as I possibly can during this crazy dang pandemic, et cetera. But more importantly, we're going to talk about some horsepower, folks. We're going to talk about how to add that horsepower to your social media and what to do today. What are the things that maybe the strategies and tactics we can talk about and do today, folks, using amazing tools like the gentleman that has founded this great company called Social Horsepower, Mr. Alan Bubich. Alan, are you ready to be real?
I'm 100% ready. Full real capacity.
Let's go. And you're on the Toronto area. And Alan has a bunch of experience, folks, in social media with over 10 years experience in the social media industry, also working in some search optimization campaigns and things like that, and working with some huge brands, Highmark, Lenovo, Mitsubishi, Samsung, and the list goes on, and has successfully, you know, helped put out over 25 million posts, folks, on social, on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And that is incredible. And so tell us a little bit about the story of creating the Social Horsepower tool, man, because it's a really cool tool, man. I was checking it out on the website earlier.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Warm welcome. And I've literally dedicated, you know, a decade of my life to helping people figure out how to be more effective on social media. And we started off in a kind of a roundabout way, which was kind of unique to this industry. I also own another company called City Blast. We help over 3,000 real estate agents manage their Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And so that really gave us a lot of belly-to-belly insight, grassroots insight. You know, we've helped people who I'm, you know, Johnny Appleseed Realtor. I'm hanging my shingle out on Main Street in some small town, USA, all the way up to, like you've mentioned, you know, the Samsungs of the world, Lenovo's and that type of thing. So we've had a really great opportunity to see the biggest of the big and the smallest of the small in terms of what works on social.
I mean, and also with the City Blast, because I was checking that out as well. You guys really specifically focus on specifically the real estate market, as obviously that's a big ticket sale and people need it.
Well, the thing that's always interesting about social media is that there's a couple of boxes that you want to tick with social media in terms of it being really, really effective to drive business for you. One, what's the length of the sales cycle? Two, how expensive is the ticket item that you're selling? Three, how important is knowledge to what you're producing? So if you're selling a high ticket price item that requires a lot of expertise and the sales cycle is long, you're going to want to be on social media. What's the most expensive thing you're probably ever going to buy in your life? It's your home. So in terms of long sales cycles, it generally takes you quite a long period of time. Right. Long sales cycle, you want your real estate agent to know that they've got domain expertise. So in terms of this being social media being a perfect tool for selling product like real estate, you can't ask for a better, vortex of things that you want. And that's going to extend to legal practice, tax law. Do you own a IT company? Anything where there's, you know, high knowledge, you're a knowledge worker, 90-day of sales cycle, where people, you know, I always use this analogy. There's a reason why lawyers sit between you and the wall of books that they have behind them, right? And so here you are, and they're the conduit between you and those books. So your options are, do you want to read that wall of books and learn the law? You can go ahead and do that. That's going to take you 8 years.
Right.
Or do you want your kind of mountain Sherpa, your mountain guide that's sitting between you and that wall of law books? And that's what social media does, in my humble opinion. And that's why working on thought leadership, building your footprint on social media, why that's so important. That's what you're proving, that you've read those books that are sitting behind you, and that you're the expert, and that whoever is in an emergency, and is ready to buy, you know, potentially because of that emergency, whatever that emergency situation is, you know, I need to buy a house. I need to buy a dozen servers for my server farm. I need to, you know, I've got a legal case. Someone's attacking me legally. Any of that knowledge that you have, you can now be right there. You know, you can think about this for yourself, Travis. Name me five of your friends on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and tell me what they do for a living.
Right now?
You probably don't know. Yeah. You know who they are, but you probably don't know what they do for a living. And that's a massive loss or missed opportunity for most people is they're not demonstrating domain expertise. They're not even demonstrating what domain they are in, period, right? And, you know, I don't know if you've been kind of following along here. I think LinkedIn just reported that engagement's up like 2,700% or something crazy like that.
Wow.
As you can imagine, right? There's no more conferences. There's no more, there's no belly-to-belly sales.
Right.
All of this stuff is dried up. So where are people spending their time right now?
On social. trying to make that dollar, put the dollars and cents together, folks. And it's a long tail strategy on anything. You know, when I know when we started our business, you know, it's a long tail strategy. You know, I'll be transparent. We're getting hit hard, and because we are in so many different categories of business, and some of them are completely closed 100%, and I can't charge them because they're closed. So it would be unethical for me to do that, as they've been partners of mine for the last 9 to 10 years. It would be unethical for me to go back to them and say, hey, you know, you're making money, but I need, what's up? They're not open. They're closed. So that's the crazy thing about this thing in general, is that in some categories, sadly, they're completely closed. And so now is the time, folks, to even think about new things, you know, new businesses, new ventures. I know we have in our business, we had to do that this year in different ways to kind of diversify some things and have some more current cash flow streams that would come in. And that was through the sports card business. And basically could take advantage of the fact that sport cards and Pokemon are very hot, and learning that domain expertise and applying some things that I already knew to this to supplement my social media business that I cannot charge my customers ethically, right? So, and hopefully in 2021, the vaccine, et cetera, we're back strong, no problem, and they're back with me, you know? And if not, I at least tried to diversify, guys. So I think that that's the most important thing. During these times is that to not be afraid to take a little risk on something else. Even if it's a shot in the dark in some cases for some people out there. And also just keep working on your business too, obviously, you know.
It's interesting that you said long tail, and I'm going to be, again, since we're being real, I was actually never a believer in social media. My LinkedIn account languished for years. You know, I had some people kind of beat me down, say, hey, you have to pay attention to this. And the reason why I didn't pay attention to it is just alluding back to your long tail. There's two real ingredients that you need to be successful on social media. And one is time and the other one is consistency.
Right.
And of course, what are we in massively short supply of? Both of those things, right? No one's got time, and I'm not going to be posting to my social consistently for the next 9 months.
Right.
And that's why people, you know, you try it out for a couple of weeks and then you fail and you go, oh, social media doesn't work. Yeah. It's not that social media doesn't work. It's that it takes a long time to build your footprint, but it is super important to build and nurture one-on-one relationships until people are ready to buy. And the other kind of interesting thing is, I think I read something like LinkedIn's up to a 500 million people now in terms of number of accounts that they have. And I read that in conjunction with the second stat, which is 87% of decision makers log into LinkedIn every day or social media of some nature every day.
Wow.
And that was an interesting thought I had. And I was thinking to myself, if I wanted to reach out to the CEO of Ford Motor Company, I could never get that person. But guess what? I could reach out to them on LinkedIn, and there's an 87% chance that they're going to look at that piece of that connection personally, which means 500 million leads, effectively unlimited leads, and direct access to the gatekeeper. Direct access. There's no gatekeeper.
Right.
So how incredible, like, when in our lifetimes have we seen an opportunity like that where, you know, you know, even think 10 years ago, you're smiling and dialing and you're trying to figure out how to navigate the secretary or whoever's kind of, and if you're the CEO, you know, if you're the CEO of Ford, there's eight secretary, there's eight gatekeepers.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
Direct access, you know, and an unlimited lead supply. I mean, it's, if you're not looking at this, you're insane. You know,
and also guys, I would put together to that, start a podcast. I mean, I remember when I interviewed Scott Monty, the head of social at Ford. And I mean, if you looked him up back in the day, he was pushing all the stuff. I mean, they launched the Ford Explorer exclusively on Facebook. They did all sorts of very progressive things early on with Facebook. And literally all I had to do was send the guy a certain amount of tweets or messages saying, "Hey man, I really appreciate what you're doing. Love your content. I've always been inspired by you, Mr. Scott Monty." You know, at the time he was in charge of Ford, you know, the social media. And then he moved on to do his own agency and all these different other things. But the point is, you guys can literally reach out to these people, create a show and interview these people on your show. And there's a reason for them to talk to you. And along the journey, whether that benefits your business or not, it's still very cool to be able to just have these great conversations and maybe possibly light friendships with people that you would never have access to. Like you said, with the, you know, with the gatekeepers and secretaries and email filters and et cetera, you know, but it's like, that's the hook too now, is like having a show, having some reason for them to come on the show, having some ability to then help promote their business, help promote them at the end of the day. It's a win-win for everybody, you know? And so I absolutely agree with you, Alan. I think that there's no better time, guys, to take advantage of LinkedIn. It is the number one platform, in my opinion, on this. It's the least busy as far as notification goes. As far as like, you know, some people are getting lots of DMs on Instagram or lots of messages on the other platforms. And it's the one that maybe is the least cluttered. But also you need to be very strategic, guys, with what you send. Because I've gotten so many crazy messages every single day. I'm sure you have too, with just clickbait kind of weird stuff that doesn't feel authentic. It doesn't feel real. And I think that that's the point I will say about outreach on LinkedIn, is be as real as you possibly can, guys, with the outreach, you know, because it's important, in my opinion, to strike a real friendship and not go the opposite way. The second I get someone with a weird spot, you know, invest here, you know, I see your investor, will you look at my slide deck and, hey, do you even care about who I am? Am I even ready to invest right now? You know, maybe I'm not, maybe I am. And so before you even take those steps to kind of send links and send PDFs and things like that, maybe just get to know these people. I think it goes better for you in the long term, personally. Now, I'm not the expert in everything, but I think just as a friend, as a person that cares about people, I think that's the right way to approach social in general. It's one-on-one.
Yeah, that's a fantastic segue, because one of the things that you want to do is great relationships result in shorter sales cycle, higher level of repeat business and customer loyalty. So it's great that you, and that's been like empirically proven. That's not touchy feely stuff. So, I mean, at the end of the day, when you really think about it, people buy from people. It doesn't matter that you work at a company X, Y, and Z. I'm still buying from Travis or
absolutely
Bob or Cindy or whoever.
Absolutely.
And I want to know that that's a real human being, and I'm buying trust. You know, I'm trusting you that what, you know, the solution that you're helping is going to solve my pain point, and I can't trust you if I don't know you. So that again kind of just reiterates how important it is to be real, to be authentic, to generate these one-on-one relationships. And I mean, you know, ask yourself, Travis, when was the last time you had a really authentic one-on-one interaction with the Unilever Facebook page?
Right. Yeah. Never. Right? Never.
So that's the thing that I always find so crazy. And, yes, and that's what, just so you know, this is what we do. We do employee advocacy. We help employees who are the brand, frankly.
Right.
We help them go out and be social.
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, people trust employees. People trust people. I think the statistic is 3 times more than the brand handle.
Absolutely.
So it's more trustworthy. It's more personable. It's yes, more real. And for you as an employee, the reason why you want to invest in that is, even, you know, we're, you know, it's a new age. There's millennials. People travel from job to job. Your personal brand will travel with you. So the yes, sooner you start traveling, you know, improving your personal brand, even if it is for your current company, as soon as you start building your footprint on social, as soon as you start, you know, being that authentic voice and demonstrating what you know consistently on social, that's going to travel with you. That's not throwaway. It doesn't matter where you do it. It's going to go with you, and it's always going to, it's the new currency now, you know, frankly.
Yeah. And if you're not doing it, there's just people that are passing you up each day. So that's the thing. It's like the least amount of activity is better than no activity. It's just like anything in exercise or doing anything. I was even reading something recently about, who was it? It was an author or is it someone said, no matter what, I at least wrote for 10 minutes a day, no matter what. Yeah. It was just to keep that craft going. I think it was a very famous lyricist, and I just cannot draw on it, but he wrote lyrics for these many, many hits. And he said, that's just the way that I did it. Even if it was 2 seconds in the bathroom, I'd write a song, I'd write a lyric, you know, I'd write something. And then and for anything you do, you know, if you want to get it fit, do 10 pushups every single day. Just, you know, if you want to do social, connect to one person on LinkedIn and be authentic with them once per day is going to get you much more than, you know, doing 7 today and then burning out and not doing any tomorrow. You know, it's like anything you do, right? So that's the thing too. Like we talked about, Alan, like you said, it's time and consistency. It's time and consistency, folks. But now, my man, we're about to take you into our top 10. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Let's go. Apple or Android?
Android.
Android. Netflix or YouTube?
Netflix.
Netflix. Instagram or Facebook?
Facebook.
Facebook. Chicken or steak?
Steak.
Steak. Do you have a favorite cut of steak?
T-bone.
T-bone. Man, I love that. Sounds good right now. Laptop or a smartphone?
Smartphone.
Smartphone. Spotify or Pandora?
Oh, Mixcloud. I'm off menu on that one.
Mixcloud. Is that another type of streaming platform? Okay.
Yeah.
It must be bigger in Canada, possibly, guys. Mixcloud. I have heard of it, but obviously you hear the Spotify, Apple, Black Pandora. Movies or video games?
Movies.
Movies. Reading books or listening to books?
Reading.
Boom. Stocks or real estate if you're thinking about some other types of investments?
Stock.
Stocks. My favorite stock from Canada, Shopify.
Yeah, I don't know. They're still going to turn a profit. I think they just turned a profit recently, right? Or am I mistaken?
Yes. But I mean, as far as like what I've seen, I invest for me as a marketer, I look at trends and same with like the Tesla. When I did Tesla 13 years, well, that was in 2013. So it was a long time ago, but It's sometimes things are just based on a trend, just like Amazon, dude. Amazon is going to keep losing money until they can possibly lose money. But the trend is there. And same thing with Shopify. When people are trying to make a business where they just can pop up revenue on their business, they're using Shopify. You know, they're just,
of course.
And then in the end, it's actually turning to Shopify making money. But obviously at the end, as an investor, you do want to see them make money. But I love investing in those trends and like Zoom or Shopify. Some of these ones have just been exploded from this pandemic.
What are you reading right now, Travis?
Personally, what I'm reading, I do it on my Audible. One of my favorite new books that I'm reading here is, let's see here, I'm pulling up. I had a couple books. One was the rocket science book. It is Think Like a Rocket Scientist. That is a fascinating book. Think like a rocket scientist, Ozan Varol.
Talk me through that. That sounds amazing.
It's incredible because it's basically like what it takes to plan to fire up rockets space, and what the littlest things that you can do that basically prevent massive errors, and basically talks about how SpaceX has perfected that. Nowadays it's more obviously looking back on the past space programs, looking currently, it kind of reflects it to business, but it's really just about the preparation. Like when they were sending stuff to Mars, they were going to make one Mars rover, and they're like, how much is it? One of the scientists was like, how much is it more to make two, just in case that one, you know, happens, you're more likely to have at least the second one. So it was just fascinating, the kind of things to think about. And then the other one I'm reading right now is Upstream. Very interesting book. It's just basically about thinking of your business in a whole different way as far as the future. What's happening? Where's the stream going? Are we going upstream, downstream? And kind of navigating it from different points of views, and that's what I'm just getting into. I do the reading. I love reading the physical books too. Lifespan was the last physical book I read, guys. David Sinclair, How We Might Never Die. It's a fascinating book, but I do the Audible because it's just easy if I'm like walking with my daughter or something, you know, it's just easier to kind of do two things. Couple more last questions.
Let me ask you about that upstream. I'm interviewing you now, Travis.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
You're reading that to help you understand how you want to invest, or is that just pure passion read?
It honestly just popped up on my Audible and I just decided to read it.
Gotcha.
Right. Sometimes I just read the books based on the suggestions and they turn out to be pretty decent. As an investor, it's different, you know. I just look at trends. I just look at what's happening and I just see a trend. And then if that trend changes, then obviously you can make that pivot as an investor too, quickly and easily. But some trends are what they would call hard trends. Like, we're not going back. Like, certain parts of Zoom is a hard trend. Yes, there's a piece that is going back, but it's killed so many pieces of industry, from travel and leisure, travel and, you know, business, you know, trips to do conversations and stuff like that, to just everything, commercial real estate, et cetera. And it's not everything, but it's taken a small slice out, you know, and it's a trend that people are probably going to stick to, you know, not everybody, not as maybe as much, but it's just a trend. And, but obviously, you know, everyone's got their different points of perspective. But yeah, I do like investing in trends, man. There's something to it. Just like the Bitcoin trend, baby. When I got on that $250 per coin at Bitcoin, and I've been patient, guys. I've sold a little bit along the way, but I've been patient.
Go ahead.
Oh, that's just a trend too. That's just another trend.
Well, talking about being on trend, we downsized our office because we didn't need that footprint. I don't think we're ever going back to an office.
There you go.
The second part of that trend is, you know, our last 3 months, we've taken off like a rocket, and just kind of talking about that. Yeah,
that's amazing, bro.
Well, you know, you don't want to say that too loud. I'm not happy that other people are suffering through this, but we've been fortunate in that this has kind of pushed CEOs to really start thinking about what does a digital transformation look like for their company.
Right.
How do you activate employees on social in a safe way? Especially we're enjoying a lot of traction in heavily regulated industries. So
yes,
legal firms,
medical, and all these kind of regulated
professions. Yeah, where, you know, you say the wrong thing, you make the wrong step, you lose your job, or there's thousands of dollars or millions of dollars in fines. So having a tool like ours where you can safely and compliantly add content and have your team share it and no one has to sweat it or stress out about it has been a boon for us. So, you know, on a one-on-one relationship level, you're saying, hey, all of our employees should be doing this. But when you look at across your organization, how do you scale that? How do you, you know, are you going to train 3,000 people to be successful at social media? Or do you want to use a tool where you can help these people succeed and not make social media 9 hours of their workday, but still get the other side of it, which is we're now succeeding as a company.
Sharing the content. I mean, I always said every time you would always win if on every post, every single one of your employees shared it. Like, it's a winning strategy, guys. Like, I've seen it work time and time again. It's hard to do. It's very, very hard to do because people are busy. I got things that, but if you can get 50 to 100 people to share the content, then you know what happens, guys. The algorithm is going to feed that. It's going to say this is more relevant content to your community, and the content is going to go viral, just like we do on our funny posts that we do with our memes and things like that, that just get tons of traction and paid zero ads to Facebook. But the point is, you're absolutely right. You got to have the advocacy program. Businesses are looking for that, and you guys are just perfectly timely positioned, man. And so, hey, it's a blessing to you guys, man. You know, to keep on working hard, man, to continue the product, to make it better, continue to make it, you know, adapt. But, and then, like you said, you're going to be a more profitable business because if you can cut down the second largest expense, guys, is your rent usually. Your second largest expense next to your people is usually your rent. And the third, actually, the craziest one that they were talking about recently that a lot of businesses are going to save on is your, you know, travel, entertainment, lunches, this kind of shit to just get business happening. And they were doing an interview with Mr. Wonder. He said, hey, man, we're going to be saving lots of money because we're doing our Zoom meetings and we're still closing deals and we're still having the business happen, and we don't have to spend $10,000. And even my dad that goes to Philadelphia all the time, and he's wearing his body down, guys. He said it to me a couple days ago. He goes, "Hey, man, I don't really like the Zoom for everything, but man, I've saved a lot of wear and tear on my body doing these board meetings, 6-hour board meetings he has every quarter that he just gets to do now on Zoom. And it's just less wear and tear on your body having to travel." And so it's just a different way of thinking about it. But I mean, you guys are perfectly timely positioned, man. And I think that anyone that needs that in their business, whether you're big or small, especially if you're a bigger business, you need to have a tool. You need to have a tool like yours that you can scale and be able to know that this is not going to just go weird on me, guys. You know, I mean, that's the thing that everyone's worried about, is that you get your employees involved, and the next thing you know, they're making mistakes.
Just to jump on that never going back kind of theory and piggybacking the rent stuff, we were huge conference folks. And, you know, you pay tens of thousands of dollars to be an exhibitor at these conferences. You know, if someone walks by, takes your business cards and throws in their swag bag,
right?
Is that an authentic connection? Is that going to turn into real sales? And at City Blast, we did over 400 conferences across 8 years. And I can tell you unequivocally, the answer is almost patently no. Never came out on the positive side of the ROI.
Right.
So if you've got a company and then you take that and you look at that and you go, or have an opportunity to make an authentic connection with someone on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, probably LinkedIn if you want to use that. I'm directly, you said it yourself, you reached out to Scott Monty on LinkedIn and connected with that guy. And now he can see pictures of you and your kids.
Dude.
He gets an opportunity to see what your status updates are. You get to talk with him one-on-one. Which one is more authentic? Here's something for your swag bag at a booth that I paid $26,000 for. Or here's a free email that I sent through social media to connect with this person in a much more laser-focused, authentic way.
Right. And more efficient for everybody. PSA, which is the company Collectors Universe that grades these cards. When you put this card in a 10, and this card's a 10, Trey Young, this card goes, the investment value goes immediately up because of the grade. And that's the thing that I learned in this business. So this business sold this week, Collectors Universe, to an investment group, Nat Turner, and an investment group. I reached out to Nat Turner, guys, on Instagram. Me and him are now a little bit kind of like light friends. I'm emailing back and forth. He's getting back on the show in April when the deals close with him for obviously stock purposes. But the point is, guys, like you said, it's in your power. It's in your wheelhouse, and you have the time and money. Now you can spend that money that you were doing other things to make your team stronger, maybe to make your life a little easier, et cetera, or just to pad the business so that you have some cash to make it through these times. You know, I mean, I'll be very grateful that, you know, for many of my customers, I hope that they can make it through. Some are not. I already know that. So that's okay. We'll all get stronger. Couple more last questions for you, my man. I really appreciate you, brother. Very great conversation today. The tactics and strategies that we're talking about, guys, are things that everyone can do. This is not rocket science. This is not something that's just for some elite level social media marketing crew. This is for everybody. So
if you want rocket science, read that book you're reading.
Exactly. Oh, dude, that book will blow your freaking mind, dude. I mean, dude, for real, like that. It's shit that I'm like, I don't even know what the hell they're talking about, but it's somehow thinks about what, like the preparation to go to space. And that's something very fascinating. In that if you know, when you got millions, you're putting all this investment, if things go wrong, they go really wrong. And sometimes they went wrong over like a little washer or a little thing that they could have literally switched out. And that blew up a whole thing and killed lots of people and stuff. So it's crazy how something so small could make an impact so big. And so that was interesting to see, like, who learned from it, you know, and Elon obviously has learned from that, you know, guys. He's built these rockets that they come back right to the spot, and it's just amazing. When you wake up in the morning, my man, you're looking at yourself in the mirror and you're getting ready for your day. Why do you love being you?
Oh, that's caught me off guard there. I think if I was to think about that, is because I don't adhere to any rules. And I was actually talking to my kids about this the other day. There's no hand manual when you have a new baby. They don't give you a hand manual. You don't leave the hospital. They just thrust the baby in your hands and say, "Hey, good luck."
Right.
And I kind of extrapolated that, and I realized, well, there's no rule book for life. And when you realize there's no rule book, that means there's no rules.
Right.
It gives you a lot of freedom to realize, because we've all been there. People say, well, you can't do that. And then you realize, well, yeah, I can, because there's no rules. There's no rule book to life. And you know, even again, looking at yourself, think about all the great people that you've talked to on your podcast, and all the people you've met.
Best and, decision you know, I maybe, agree, man.
Yeah, maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago, you never thought you would be talking to some of these people. And there's no rules. There's nothing stopping you. And I've proven that to myself a few times. So that's one of the key reasons why it's a barrier. It's a mental barrier you need to get through in your own mind.
Right.
I can do whatever I want to do, and there's actually nothing stopping me from doing that. So
such a good point, dude. Such a good point. Do you think you'll ever retire? Do you think you'll ever hang up the hat and say, I'm done?
Never fully. Because the mental exercise of, is so, well, I'm an addict. I'm sure you're an addict. I'm sure everybody who's listening is addicted to this. What I'm trying to stop is the grind, meaning, you know, it took me a long time to learn this as well. And I'm slowly starting to learn this is I work in my business. I don't work on my business.
Oh my God.
And that's the part I'm trying to free myself from where, you know, there are capable, intelligent people in the right places to do the things that need to be done effectively, and where I can start thinking about strategy and take a step back. That's a difficult transition for anyone in any business to make that step, I'm sure. Actually my dad, you know, you referenced your dad. My dad kind of gave me a really good analogy for that. There's soldiers, there's lieutenants, and there's generals. And I'm trying to strive to become a general, right?
Right.
That first step is you're a soldier. You go to Bank of America every day. You get off the transit. You do your little walk of the penguins. You go work your bank job. They pay you. You go home. Mm. You come to that realization, man, if I want to make a dollar, I got to work an hour. And it's a one-to-one relationship. And then you get to that lieutenant role where you're like, wait a minute. If I build something that has value, like a business, and I can sell that value to people, well, I could be asleep. And the business can be making me money. That's kind of level two in my mind.
Oh yeah.
And then that what that does is you kind of realize after a while, Travis, that just creates a job for you.
Right.
You're not working for someone else. You're working for all your customers.
Oh yeah.
Now I'm striving for level three. I want to be a general. I want my business to work for me. I want my money to work for me.
Boom.
I want to tell the lieutenants what to do. So
that's the hardest thing to do, man. That's one of the things you give so many of the greatest entrepreneurs respect for. To be able to have that trust and it still scales and it still grows. And to not be the one that does the work, you know, like they always say in the beginning, you're going to work 80 hours for the 40 hours that, you know, basically you would have gotten at some other job. But the goal is that less and less as you become the owner. And then unfortunately, I know some of these businesses, you know, they're having to get back and dirty because of the business situation. And so, and that's okay. You know, if you have to go back, guys, that's okay to get back and get dirty a little bit if the business calls for it. But I absolutely agree with you, dude. I mean, I think the goal, guys, for any of us listening is to become that general in our lives and our businesses, to have assets working for us, to have people working for us, and then to have everyone prosper because you are bringing in the beacon of revenue, et cetera, that you can share with others. You can donate, you can give, you can spread to your team and also just help provide their families so they can pay their mortgages and pay their grocery bills. And then something special about that, man. I mean, that's the cool part about being a business owner too, that you know, there's a lot of stress, but there's a lot of also very good joys to know that you're helping provide someone's life. You know, if they don't have you, yeah, maybe they can work somewhere else, but they got you. And so, you know, there's a big blessing to that. Do you have a favorite app on your phone right now that you're using?
You know what? I've been learning poker.
Nice.
Just to kind of relax and unwind. You can't always be switched on.
Of course.
And just to kind of get a better sense of you know, hand openings I should be using, I use a thing called Poker Fighter just to kind of get a little bit smarter, a little more strategic, a little bit more mathematical about it. So it's kind of like a puzzle training app for what you should do in different situations. So. Poker, I mean, I'm sure every business owner who's on this loves poker because it marries the same things that we all know and love, which is how do I make more money and how does psychology play into my risk assessment and decision making?
Decisions.
Yeah, so that's what I'm using. What are you using right now?
That's fun, dude. Shit. My favorite one's the BabyCenter app right now, to be transparent with you, because my wife is pregnant with my little boy. And so I like learning about the baby's development. It is our second child, but this is it for us. And so we're excited again to have a baby as we watch my daughter grow. And so that's the one I'm checking out most, man. BabyCenter. I'm checking my Robinhood to check on my investments. I got a variety of other platforms. I use Uphold and stuff like that for some crypto and some other things. But I would definitely say the BabyCenter, man, because it's just cool to see the baby develop and they're telling you what's going on with them. And right now that's what I'm thinking about because I got the baby coming in May. Couple more last questions for you, my man. If you could sit down to a T-bone steak dinner with anyone in the world, who would it be?
Ooh, you're getting me here. You're catching me off guard here.
Let's go.
Sit down with, you got me. I think you caught me off guard on that one. I'm going to pass. I'll come back to that one.
Give me the next question. Where's the best place for people to find you guys? Where's the best place for people to learn more about you guys? Kind of learn more about the business.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a bunch of different places, but obviously the key one to get a hold of us is socialhp.com, where they can come see what we do, learn about employee advocacy, learn the different ways they can apply that. Mm. But the better place to get a hold of me, honestly, is LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And I obviously am looking forward to having one-on-one conversations with folks that listen to the show. And my LinkedIn handle is A Bubich, B-U-B-I-C-H. I'll spell that again, A B-U-B-I-C-H. Have a little search for me or use that handle on LinkedIn. Track me down. Love to talk to you one-on-one if you've got questions about how employee advocacy can help your business grow. Those are the two best places.
Bro, you're awesome, man. I really appreciate this conversation today, and a blessing to talk to another social media OG. When I started the show podcast, the guys know that it started social only, and then it kind of transformed entrepreneurship because all different types of topics and people and interests and things like that. But I'm loving talking to more of my social OGs. And you've just really built something special, man, because I think, like you said, for those companies that need the advocacy, you got to have a tool. And socialhp.com, folks, you guys got to check it out. Man, what a great conversation today. You've been hanging out with Mr. Alan Bubich and Travis Too Tall and Huff. We want to thank you again for your time today, and let's keep being real.
What another epic episode. And if you enjoyed the episode today, can you please do me a favor and subscribe to our podcast, The Be Real Show, on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform? And also take a little time today, if you don't mind, and give your boy T Huff a review. I would really super appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening today.
Right now, more than ever, folks, we need to work on our reputation for our businesses. And get those reviews, get those positive reviews, get those positive recommendations on both on your social, but also to market on your website. And that is why you want to check out my business, folks, our software, realtimereputation.us. That's realtimereputation.us. Please check it out. It is literally the best thing that's ever happened to many of our campaigns, as that reviews bring together your social and digital campaigns. And the more positive reviews, as people are making those positive, decisions, they're looking at your reviews. And so the more you can get, the better. And make it easy and automated with realtimereputation.us. Check us out.